It's sure good to be here again. Amen. I was just thinking, just as walking up here, the comfort that this little building has been to me, and I hope to you, and just the memories and the things that we've gone through in this building, it's been a good place. Amen. I just enjoy it. So thankful for it. Come with people that I know are going through. Amen. When you go through things with someone else, you form a bond. There's something there that's goes deeper than just blood. It goes deeper than just about anything else, and you know, hey, I can depend on that person. They're going to be there. They're going to stick it out. I believe that's where we've gotten to. We're with people tonight that are going through. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful again we can come here tonight, Lord, and we come with expectations that you'll come and speak to us as you promised to do. So, Father, you always are so faithful. You always keep your word, Lord, and you say, you just challenge us to take you at your word and say, just see if I don't keep my word. And so tonight we're coming with this simple little request, Lord, won't you come and speak to us again? And Father, you do it so faithfully. You're always here with us when we come with the right attitude, the right heart, the right desire. So, Father, I pray tonight that we could just set everything aside and just hear your voice again, Lord, and know you're among us. And, Father, touch us. Give us what we have need to provide it, Lord. You are Jehovah Jireh, and, Lord, you will provide all our needs. Be with the ones who can't be here tonight. Lord, strengthen each one. Just watch over them. Father, bring them back to us, Lord. Do we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you are about to do, Lord Jesus? We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. And if you turn in your Bible to Revelation, we're going to read one verse there and be seated. Revelations 3 and 20. Probably could quote it. It's been read so many times, and it's still so just as fresh as it ever was. And it stands very much for us in our day that we're living in. Revelation 3 and 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak on the thought of doors. Doors. And it's another situation where I don't know the direction this is going, but this is what God gave me, several scriptures, so we're just going to jump in and see where it splashes out. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You hear a knock. What does it do? What does it make you want to do? The average person is going to get curious and go find out who's at the door. All right? Now, some people who don't want to see anybody, they might sit there and ignore the knock and ignore it. I don't want to. I don't care who it is. Just go away. They'll leave me alone because they're in some kind of a bad mood or whatever. But even if I'm in a bad mood, I'm still curious, especially where I live now, because I've had all kinds of interesting folks show up on my front door, knocking on my door, ringing my doorbell, and I want to see who's hanging out there because maybe I want them there, maybe I don't. But when I hear that, I got to get up and check it. I don't care if it's in the middle of the night, middle of the day, whenever it is, I hear a knock on the door. I want to go see. Is that not the way people are, right? And so it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So Jesus said, "I'm standing at the door knocking," knowing what it's going to bring from you. It's going to bring a reaction. You hear a knock. I want to find out who's at the door. Now, I might go to the door. I opened the door one time. I looked out. I didn't see anybody because there's a window up here I can kind of look up. I didn't see anybody. I opened up. There's a very short lady there. And she was, as soon as I opened, she just started talking, chatter, this and that. And I found out she's kind of a neighborhood busybody. And she was looking past me. "Oh, that's really nice." And she just starts walking in my house. I stand over there and kind of block it. I said, no, don't come in. And she said, and then she realizes I'm not going to invite her in. So she kind of gets an attitude and she finally walks away. But what, you know, that I gotta get my composure. But what it is, you know, that knocking that you go to the open the door, you see what it is. So Jesus, he knows you're gonna go to the door, he knows you wanna see what's out there. And he says, "If any man hear my voice," now wait a minute, he says he's knocking, but "if any man hear my voice." So what we see here is he is actually calling the knock his voice. Because he didn't say, hey, I'm out here. He just said, I'm knocking. But now what we see here is a characteristic of the voice of God is it comes to you as a knocking. Tell me that's not the truth. Have you not heard him knocking on your heart? How many times you go to church and you hear him knocking on your heart and it's there and it's persistent. He don't shut up and he just keeps knocking because he's going to say, sooner or later, you're going to open that door and find out who's out there. Isn't that what he said? He gave the parable of that woman. She comes to the king and he says, hey, avenge me. Someone's done me wrong. Do something. He said, just leave me alone. But she just kept persisting and she kept knocking fine. He said, okay, fine. Why? Because he was tired of her knocking. And finally he said, okay, I'll do it because you're persistent. I can't get any rest. And he says, that's the way we're supposed to be towards him. And that's how he is towards us. Isn't he? Yes, sir. He will knock. Now, here's the thing. He'll go to some people's door. He'll knock. No answer? All right. And he'll walk away. He'll go to someone else's door. No answer? No answer? No answer? And he ain't going away. And you might go to the back room, get under your bed, pull your mattresses and blankets and pillows and everything so you can't hear it, and turn up the music so loud you can't hear that knocking. And drown it out. But sometime in the night, you'll be laying there trying to sleep. Leave me alone. He might walk away for a while. You think, I've sinned away my day of grace. It's too late. I haven't heard him knocking for a while. And one night he will wake up in the middle of the night. He's back. It's true, ain't it? Why? Why does he come back to you over and over and the other person who rejects him, he knocks and just walks away. He never comes back. I'll tell you why. Because in his hand, when he's going from door to door, he has a book. And he bought that book and he owns that book. He paid for that book. And in that book is a bunch of names. And he knows that those names were put in there from before the foundation of the world. And he said, all that my Father has given me will come. And I will no way cast them out. And I will save them all. Not a one of them will be lost. Why? Because they're in my book. And he knows if you ignore him and ignore him, ignore him, sooner or later, if you're in this book, you're finally going to say, okay. Why? Because the only way your name gets in his book is if you are going to choose to believe sooner or later. So he's not going away because he said not a one of them will be lost. All the Father give me are mine. So you might as well just get used to the fact that if you are still struggling, if I don't know if I'm his or not, I don't know. If he's still knocking, go ahead and admit it that you are. Oh my goodness, what does he have to do? How many times have we been in and out and in and out and we still cannot get it through our head that, yes, I really do belong to him? Why do we struggle with that kind of stuff, brother, sister? It's because we keep listening to the wrong knocking and we open the door to the wrong person. Oh, there are a lot of doors. There are a lot of knocks. A lot of knocking. People come to my door. They knock. They're trying to sell me something. I listen to see what they're. I say, I don't need it. Thank you. Close the door. Someone else comes and he starts selling me something. He gives me listening a little bit. And pretty soon I'm like, well, maybe I do. No, I don't. Close the door. Pretty much if I don't have it, I don't need it. Salesmen are good. Satan's the best salesman there is. He will come and he'll present it in such a way that that sounds good. Let me tell you what happened. When I still lived over in Charlotte, That door didn't have any window. I couldn't see who was out there. Someone knocked on the door middle of the afternoon. I went to open it just a little bit, see who's out there. And right there, right where in front of the door, was a very attractive woman. She looked like a Christian. Long dress, long hair, smiling at me. I thought, wow. She said, may I talk to you? I just thought, yeah. I said, sure. I opened the door. And just like that, a man stepped from beside the door. Hi, I'm so-and-so. He had been standing up against the wall, away from the door, where I couldn't see him. He said, I'm so-and-so, this is my daughter. And it was Jehovah's Witness or something. And I thought, you snake. Really? You're using your attractive daughter to get the door open so you can start selling me your snake oil. Yeah, we didn't talk very long. I thought, it's just like Satan. You go to the door, you hear a knock, and there's something very attractive. Whatever it is that he knows that your weakness is. And he says, you know what? Here's a really bad attitude for you to have. Well, yeah, I think I'll take that. Here's a good reason for you to feel bad towards that person. Here's a good reason for you to have some bitterness. Doesn't look good. It sure does. Hi, my name's Satan. Can I come in? Well, yeah, I guess so. Isn't that true? Those thoughts he gives us, those thoughts right there. Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, why don't you take this attitude? Hey, have you thought about this for a while? He waits till you're weak. I heard on the radio recently someone talking about addictions, and I was thinking about it. You know, people are addicted, and a lot of times that addiction don't bother them at all. And they can go for days or weeks or whatever without giving into that addiction, according to what the addiction is. Sometimes it's hours. But when you start feeling weak, then all of a sudden, I got to have something. I got to do something about that. And Satan sees it. He'll see you going along, and you're just cruising. You know, everything's going in your life, and everything's fine, and he just lets you alone. But then he's weaving something in over here and weaving something over here, and all of a sudden he springs a trap on you. He's like, man. And that's he jumps on you when you're weak. Then he starts knocking at your door. Hey, can I come in? Got something for you to think about. Might as well. I'm such a loser anyways. Don't make any difference now. That's the way it works. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, here's the deal. You have to recognize who's knocking. Whose voice is it? He comes just like that. That's the characteristic of his voice, that persistent knocking. Hey, it's me. He said, and open the door. So now you have something you have to do. You have to open the door. That's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? No, it's not. It's the simplest thing to do. It's also the hardest thing. Because the simple thing, here we try so hard to open the door. How do I surrender? And that's what it is, of course. Surrendering, let him in, right? Surrender. How do I struggle so hard to surrender? Brother and sister, if you're struggling to surrender, you're not surrendering. How do you surrender? You throw down your weapon, you put up your hands, and say, don't shoot. And yet, you know what makes it so hard? Is because Satan tells you that you have to struggle to surrender. You have to try so hard to surrender. You got to really put an effort into surrender. Surrendering is simply accepting what the word says. That's all it is. That's all it is. The word is preached, you accept it, and that's a surrender. Anything more than that, and you're putting your own effort into it, brother and sister. You can't do that. He said, well, that's not so hard. Really? Have you not been around here? Have you not heard some of the things that have been preached? Tell me that's not hard. Sometimes it'll totally kill you. That's the point. The things that have been preached, it'll just make you squirm. Maybe it's just me. I'm the only one squirming, right? No, I know that's not true. I see some of your faces. We all squirm. It's like, and that's what it is. It's to accept that. Say, yeah, that hurts. Come on in. Come on in. That's all he's looking for. That is all he's looking for. Oh, we offer him so much religion. I never get off of that, Brother Paul. Every time I preach, I come right to that same thing. It's not my fault. Boy, that gives me so much peace knowing that he never quit knocking. He never quit knocking. Why? Because he said, you're mine. You're going to come. Sooner or later, you're going to come. I walked away from him. He never quit knocking. In fact, it got louder. Sure does. My, that's good. Isn't that good? My flesh wasn't having a good time, but boy, it's good. Going through the hardest trials, and yet he kept knocking. How does he do it? By making you miserable. Why can't I just be a Christian like everyone else? Because you are not called to be a Christian like everyone else. You are called to be a son or daughter of God. That's not like everyone else. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John 10. Very familiar scripture again. Of course, it's about the door. Let's read this through, and then we'll talk about here a little bit. John 10 and 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep followeth him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Said Jesus unto them, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. All right, now let's break this down a little bit. First of all, we establish, he said, I am the door. All right? Now, when he's knocking on the door of your heart. All right? You let him in, but now we also understand that he said he is the door. So when it's time for you, you also have to do something. You also have to step through the door. You have to step into Christ. All right? He steps into your heart. You step into his. All right? He said, verily I say unto you, he that entereth by the door, that's himself. He that entereth through Christ into the sheepfold, but climbeth up, I'm sorry, that entereth not through Christ into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the thief and the robber. So he's saying, if you try to come into this body of Christ, do something besides Christ, you're a thief and a robber. Now you say, well, how do you do that? Well, you have to identify Christ. I'm going to get happy. You have to identify who Christ is. And who is Christ? Brother Branham said it. He said, Christ is the word for your day made manifest. That's how you know. That's the door. You have to recognize the Word. He is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And he is that Word. And it's the Word made manifest in your day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. I preach that every time too, Brother Paul. That is how you know. That is the way into the body of Christ. That is the way into the sheepfold. It's through the word for your day. How do you get in? You just believe it. You accept it. This is the word for my day. This is what God is currently doing. This is God on earth today. It's not some kind of a doctrine. To enter some other way, to try to render some other way, is to enter through a different Jesus. You're looking for another way in besides through Jesus Christ, and there are plenty of other Jesuses being preached. He said, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So he said, I am the door, and whoever enters in through me is the shepherd, and he's talking about himself. I have to come through myself. He has to come through the word for the day. He can't come another way. He has to come through the word for his day, just like everybody else. If he comes to you through yesterday's message, he's wrong. It ain't Christ. Don't care how anointed it is. He's saying he is the word. He has to stay by the word. He has to follow the word himself. My. So what does he do? You recognize his voice because it's the word spoken for your day. And that is the voice. And that is how you gain entrance through the vindicated word for your day. And you accept that, and it's preached, and you believe it, and you see it being acted out, and you live that, and you accept it and believe it. And brother and sister, that puts you in the body of Christ. As Brother Branham said, he said, what is the new birth? He said, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. Well, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's when he manifests the word, and you see it and accept it and say, I see Christ. What are you looking for? A feeling? You want to come down here to the altar and have a great sensation and say, oh, I've met Christ. How do you know that was Christ? Satan got plenty of sensations. My. Oh, yeah, you get anointed on your flesh. You feel him all the time. But did you know Christ? Do you see him, the word? Oh, it's so clear, brother and sister. You see why just listening to the tapes is never going to put you in a rapture. You're not even going to get to know Christ that way. Isn't that scary? Not to us, it isn't. He said, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Who's the porter? It's the ministry. They see, oh, I know the voice. I see it manifesting the word. That spirit can come in. And what do? You open the door by how? He says, you open it. You yield yourself to get out of the way. And that spirit speaks through you. That anointing is coming. You know it's the spirit of God. You know it's Christ himself because it is manifesting the word. And he opens the door. And he comes in. And that spirit comes in. And then he can minister to the whole flock. If that's not what's happening right now, we're here in vain, brother and sister. If that's not what is happening right now, we are all wasting our time tonight. This isn't something yesterday or it's going to happen. It's either happening right now or it's not. And if it's not, we're wasting our time. That's what the gift is about. That's what the gift in your heart is about. That when you hear that, you have the gift. You have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. You recognize what's going on. And if I can get out of the way and God can use this gift, he can speak to you. He can lead you in and out. He can feed you in shaded green pastures. He can take you beside the still waters. He can restore your soul if you can just accept that this is him. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Why? Because they know the voice of Christ. They know the voice of the shepherd. They know his knock. And they also know Satan's knock. Because you opened it to him before, haven't you? And you know what he does. And you know there's a different knock. Because he appeals to your emotions. And he appeals to your intellect. He appeals to your pride. But the knock of Jesus Christ doesn't appeal to any of those. And that's why people ignore that knock and they don't open the door to him. And the sheep hear his voice, and he called them his own sheep by name. Hallelujah. Why? Because he has a personal relationship with you, and he knows you personally, and you know him personally. And lead them out. And all we do is just follow where the shepherd leads us. My. Let me skip down a little bit. Verse 4. When he putteth his own sheep forth, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You don't run off. You're not chasing something else. Why? Because you found satisfaction. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Preacher come in here, or you go to some service somewhere, you hear something on the radio and someone's preaching out of the Bible, or they're preaching out of the quotes, they're preaching what they call the message of the hour, but it doesn't ring true to you because it's not the same Jesus that you've been preached. I'm going to just stop here and go somewhere else. 2 Corinthians 11:1. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly. But this is Paul, of course. He said, indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. My. Whoever thought jealousy could be godly? But the Bible says God is a jealous God. And Paul said, I've got that same jealousy right now for you. He said, why? For I have espoused you to one husband. You've been engaged to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. One husband. That's one spirit. One spirit. There's a million spirits, but you've been espoused to one. By one spirit were you baptized into the body. Don't go on committing adultery with the other spirits. This is a spiritual warfare, and you must keep yourself chaste. A chaste virgin to Christ. When those other spirits come and tempt you and entice you, you need to have more love for Christ than you do for that. Wow. How do you do that? By falling in love with Christ. More and more. Because those other enticing spirits can look really good. That woman standing in front of my door when I opened that, she looked really good. And her father was treating her like a whore. That's what she was. She was standing there trying to use her physical attraction to get me to talk. It's the same spirit of a prostitute. How do you do that with your own daughter if you're not a prostitute whore yourself? That system he's in. He said that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul said, now I'm afraid for you because I know how subtle Satan is, and he will use any means he can to corrupt you from how simple this gospel is. He will get you so wrapped up in quotes and so wrapped up in holiness and so wrapped up in knowledge and so wrapped up in reputations and anointings and feelings and everything else he can that you'll forget about this simplicity. Simply believe the word. That's all you have to do. Brother Bram said, say Eve was safe as long as she stayed fortified behind the word. Satan couldn't get to her, but she stepped out. Why? Because she was enticed. That's how he gets us, brother and sister. He entices us with some thought, some feeling, some emotion, some doctrine, some knowledge, whatever he can. The next thing you know, we're coming to church all bogged down with all this stuff. You say, what happened? You forgot the simplicity. You've been corrupted from the simplicity. What's the simplicity? Simply follow the word that's manifesting your day. That's the simplicity. Follow Christ. You know what the problem is here? Not here, but for human beings, we hear that knock, and we know he's knocking on our door. And we look around our house, and we say, oh, I can't have company looking like this. Hang on a second, I'll be right there. And we start running the vacuum. We start washing the windows. We start cleaning up the room. We start doing laundry. We got to clean this place up before we let them in. And after a while, we realize it's just worse. And it's getting worse than it was. Every time I clean something, it just shows more dirt. And finally we say, you know, just forget it. I could not let you in here. I can't live holy enough. I can't live good enough to let them in. How many people have walked away from church and I've heard this, I just can't live good enough. I just can't be good enough. I just can't do this. What are you doing? He's at the door knocking and you're inside trying to clean up. Oh my goodness, quit wasting your time. He's got the cleanser with him. It takes one drop of his blood and your house is clean. Whatever you let him into. Now that's something else Christians don't like. Because once you let him in, they think, that's it. Game over. I'm done. I'm a Christian. I'm good to go. And a little bit later, you hear this. What are you knocking about now? I let you get in this door here. Oh, no, you don't. I let you in the house. What more do you want? I want the entire house. See, that's why even after you become a Christian and you're born again, the battle ain't over. There's a lot more rooms. And he's going to take control of all of them. He said, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be like to be a Christian. This isn't what I thought. Yeah, well, think again then. Because he's not just going to come in and say, hey, yeah, thanks for letting me in. And that's what most people do. But then if you have a good pastor, he's going to keep preaching, and pretty soon you're going uncomfortable. This is worse than getting born again. You know what I mean? This is harder. This is harder than it was before. This is keep getting harder. Yeah, wait till he gets to the basement. What do you got down there? Where the roots are that go down deep. You walk to the basement. He says, tear up this floor. This is the basement floor. Yeah, but you got roots down underneath it. My house will collapse. Maybe it needs to. We might rebuild the whole structure here, according to how deep these roots are. But we're going to get them all out. All of that fear and bitterness and pain and everything that you're storing, trying to keep from seeing the light of day because you can't bear to look at them. That's why you're cleaning the house to begin with, right? You can't stand yourself. You sure don't want God to see you. Oh, I know I'm talking to people who know what I'm talking about. Verse 4, he says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Ain't that something? Another door. You don't have to come in all the way Brother Jerry preaches it. You don't have to go through all this stuff. What kind of a preacher do you listen to? Brother Jim was just a couple days on Sunday, he was talking about how after the funeral for Brother Tim, people were saying, your pastor, what is his problem? Why does he preach that way? He said, why don't you come in Sunday and listen to him preach if you think that was bad? What is it? They said, we don't listen to that kind of preaching. We have a door that's a lot different than that. We have a nice, comfortable door to go through. It's wide. What did Jesus say? He said, let me just read it real quick. He said, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. He said, we got another gate. We got this door that's big and everyone can get. We love everybody. We include everybody. We're not judgmental. We don't think you have to quit sinning just to come to be, go to our church. You don't have to do this, and you don't have to wear clothes a certain way, and you don't have to just love, you know, your own wife. You can love whoever else's wife you want, and if you don't want to love someone's wife, you can love their husband. We don't care. We love everybody. Wide is the gate. Tell me that's not USA 2015 church. And don't tell me that ain't in the message. When you get up and say, everyone come together and listen to the prophet, we all believe it's true, we're all in one accord. That's the same junk. That's the same spirit. As long as we all believe it's true, we're all in one accord. How much hogwash is that? What about the revelation of the word? Where did that go? Well, you say, well, Brother Phil, a minute ago you said you just come to Christ without cleaning up. Then don't you accept him? Well, of course. We're not talking. Here's the difference. Here's the difference. Here, real simple difference. They say, you're gay? That's okay. You can come in anyways. You don't have to change. You can still be a Christian. For us, we say, oh, you're gay? Come anyways. God will set you free. Right. Right. Amen. That's the difference. We all have sin. We all come short. But God sets you free if you want to be free. We don't walk around with, this is the way God made me. I just can't help it. Well, then if I'm a liar, God made me a liar. I can't help it. Hallelujah. We're all going to heaven anyways. Oh, no, we're not. He sets you free from sin. No. Brother Phil, that they took that prostitute, came to Jesus, and they said, he said, he who has no sin, throw the first stone, and everyone dropped their stone and walked away. And he said, where are your accusers? She has. He said, I have none, Lord. He says, neither do I accuse you. Stop. He didn't stop there. He said, now go and sin no more. He didn't say, go ahead in your sin. I forgive you, but don't worry about it. Keep sinning. He said, I forgive you, but stop it. Yes, sir. This Pope that we got, talking about homosexuals, he said, we need to forgive them and love them. He's two for two. He's exactly right. But you know what he didn't say? First of all, let me put it this way. What's there to forgive if there's nothing wrong with it? What's there to forgive? So he's saying it's wrong. Then he says, love him. Well, that's not even a question. Why would you not love someone just because of some sin they have? Do you hate yourself when you sin? Do you hate your mother or dad when they sin, or your kids? We don't hate people because they sin. We're all sinners. But see, here's what the Pope didn't say. He said, but get them to church where they can be set free, where they can be delivered from that evil spirit. And so what he's saying, what he's inferring is, okay, it's wrong, but just love them and accept them anyways. I'm sorry, that's not the love of God. The love of God says, stop what you're doing so you don't go to hell. That's why I went to Calvary, so you could be free. That's the difference. That's a spirit that people love. They love it because it gives them so much confidence. That's a spirit that gives them so much confidence. Have you seen people? They have such confidence, so many of them just right up in your face. It's like, yeah, this is who I am. I'm proud of this. Hard to be delivered because people don't want to be. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. He's saying someone's going to come and offer you another door, another Jesus, another spirit. He said, and you're going to bear with them. Why? Because it's going to be so comfortable. It's going to be so, it feels so good. It's always good. You ever get around a bunch of people and they're all united about something? You just feel, man, I'm part of the group. I'm part of the crowd. Everything is just so comfortable and we love each other. It's just good. It is. Someone offering you an easier door, a wider gate, a broader way. Why should you have to be different? Why do you have to be? Why can't you just be like everyone else? Why do you always have to be different? Why can't you just get along with people? What's your problem? Just love them. Quit being so judgmental. Because you don't want that easier Jesus. Because you've tried him. And there was no peace. There was no strength. There was no joy. When a hard time comes, you crashed. When a hard time comes now, you crash. But you crash and you land on the rock of revelation that I still know who I am. There's something that's still holding me. I have no strength, but something keeps holding me. Something keeps me going. Well, how do you know this is right? Listen to this. Paul says, for I suppose I was not one whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He said, my ministry isn't inferior to the other people. And then he says, we have been thoroughly made manifest. So now the question is, do you Do you believe the same thing right now for us, for what you, where you're at? Has the ministry here, is it inferior to others? Could you be better fed if you were at a different church under a different pastor? Because if you could, you need to go there. You need to go there because you have not received the revelation that this is where you're supposed to be. Not from God, you didn't. Because if this is the pastor you're supposed to be sitting under, then there's no place you could be better fed. God doesn't run his church that way. Well, I guess I just throw these people together. Let me see, who am I going to get to pastor? Oh, my goodness, I don't know. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, Brother Jerry Browning, I don't care. That ain't the way he runs his church. Not at all. So has the ministry been made manifest? Is this the door into the sheepfold, or is this a door into another fold? See, here's something, brother and sister, that you have to know that yourself. You have to know for sure all by yourself that that's where this is where you need to be. Let me go to this where I start reading for. He says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why? Because when they hear that knock, they don't want it. They reject it. It's too straight. It's too narrow. You know what that word narrow means? It means trouble, afflict, narrow, to suffer tribulation. To press as grapes, to press hard upon, a compressed way is contracted. Metaphorically, it means to trouble, to afflict, to distress. That's the narrow way. You're afflicted, you have trouble, you have distress. And it leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. Because they don't want that way. They choose to reject it. No, I'm not going to go that way. I don't need it that way. I'm not going through that door. It's too narrow. There's got to be another way. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be another Jesus that I can believe in. And even us, brothers and sisters, sometimes for us, it's hard. We get doubts. We wonder, is this really it? Is this really the bride of Christ? Is this really what God is doing? Because, oh my goodness, how could it be that simple? I know it's God in simplicity, but how could it be this simple? How could it be? Well, if you ever have doubts, you're in good company. Now when John had heard in the prison that the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, art thou? And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now listen to what this is. John the Baptist, by direct vindication from God, said, this is the Messiah, this is him. And then when he's in prison, he said, he heard in the prison the works of Christ. So he heard what he was doing. And he sent two of his disciples to go and ask him, are you the one? Or is there another Jesus? This was John the Baptist. You ever sit sometime and look around and things, look at your own life and the way things go and say, is this really it? Have I really entered into the door? John saying, are you really the door, or is there another door we should be going through? Because I've heard your works, and this is not what I expected. Now tell me John the Baptist wasn't a prophet. And yet he sat there, he saw what Jesus was doing, and it caused doubt in his mind. He said, that is not what I expected. I preach under the anointing that he's going to come with his axe in his hand, and he's going to chop and cut, and he's going to destroy, and he's going to use fire and brimstone. He's going to do all this stuff, and he ain't doing any of it. Oh, yes, he was, just not the way John had thought it would be. He was doing exactly what the word said, but John the prophet had a different idea because that part of the word had not been revealed to John yet, even though he was a prophet. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? So when you're sitting there on your couch and you think, man, today I just don't know. I didn't feel God at all. I was just struggling. I just wonder, and this is going on, and I look what's happening in the church, and I think, well, where is God and all that? And I'm just having questions and all that. Just remember, you're in prison just like John the Baptist. You're sitting in the same cell, and just turn over him. He's sitting on the couch next to you. You say, John, we're back. Wondering again. But you don't have to say it, stay in that cell. You don't even have to get your head cut off to get out. You can get up and walk out and say, I know whom I have believed. And I'm going to quit looking at the doubt Satan's knocking and opening and offering me. I'm going to start looking over here at the revelation and the vindication that I've seen. So get off that couch, folks, and start walking forward again. And don't let Satan kick you around. Oh, so you're doubting. Oh, shut up. Jesus answered, said unto them, go and show John again those things which which ye do hear and see. He didn't say, now go to John and give him these quotes. Go to John and tell him what this prophet said and what that prophet said. No, he said, go and show him what you hear and see. That is what we need to do. When Satan comes and brings doubt, remember what you heard and what you've seen. Is it Christ or is it not? That's how you're going to defeat him. Why? Because that's the revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the gates of hell can't prevail against it. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And they said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Isn't that amazing? He said, now, John, this is who I am. You know who I am. Now, don't get offended because I'm not the kind of Messiah that you expected. And let me tell you this, don't be offended when Jesus turns out to be different than you expected him to be. Well, you mean you're going to let me do this? You mean this is going to happen in my life? You mean this? Yeah, don't be offended. John, I'm going to let them cut your head off. What? Yep, don't be offended. What would you do if you're in John's place? You preach for 6 months and I'm going to put you in prison, let you go to prison, I'm going to let you get killed. I'm done with you, your time is up. But I'm only 30 years old, I like to live a little longer, sorry. You see, that was a long time ago. Oh, yeah, Jesus changed, right? He don't still do that. He's not the same. He uses you, and then when your time is up, he takes you home. I mean, what better place to go? I'm going to read on down, just to skip a little bit down here, because I really like it. It says, just a little bit after that, he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. If you receive it, this is Elias, which was to come. He that hath the ears to hear, let him hear. So what do you mean, the violent take it by force? Brother and sister, if you want this, you're going to fight for it. You're going to struggle. You're going to believe no matter what happens. You're going to grip this with a death grip, and you're not going to quit believing no matter what, because it's going to get you in a rapture. Take it by force. You know, the rich young ruler, he heard that knocking. He had kept the commandments his whole life. He had lived a good life. You couldn't put a finger against him. He was a good man. Everyone loved him. Jesus loved him. And he had done all this stuff as religious as he could be, yet he knew something was wrong. How did he know something is not right? Because there was a knocking on his heart. Something's still not right. And he came to Jesus. What? Let me tell you something. He can't come to Jesus without Jesus calling him. You can't come except the Father calls you. No one can even have come to him with that, you know, as far as seeking life or seeking help until you're called to it. And he came because he heard the knock. And he got there. And he said, I need eternal life. Something's missing. I don't have life. And the door swung open. And he looked at that. Narrow door. Ooh. And he looked over to this door. He said, that's so much more comfortable. So much more pleasant. And he turned and he walked through the other door. And he'd gone down in history as the biggest fool there ever was. And yet how many millions of people have done the same thing since? And how many millions of preachers have stood in the pulpit and offered that other door? And say it's because we love everybody and use that for their excuse. They don't like the real Jesus, so they have to manufacture a fake, something that's more appealing to people. Well, we have these programs to get people into the church. Isn't that good? If they're coming to the church because another reason than being attracted by the word, they're coming for the wrong reason. Well, can God not use it? Yeah, but if that's not what's being preached, then it's not going to do them any good. I'm going to try to quit here. Let me say one more thing here. God will have me doing this. I think about a year or so, or maybe 2 years ago, some minister, I don't know what denomination he was, but he got up and he said, the Holocaust was the tender hand of Jehovah. He did. It made national news. He got blasted. Now, personally, I think you probably heard Brother Branham say that. But the media, the churches, everyone just blasted. How could you say that the Jews blasted? Everyone hated him for it. Why? Well, the liberals didn't like it because if you're saying that was his tender hand to get Israel back into the homeland, then you're saying that God prefers Israel and you're a racist and that God loves Israel and they all hate Israel. They want to see Israel destroyed because it's in their heart. It's Satan's heart. It's their heart. But now the Christians, they didn't like that because you're saying God of love would do something like that? That ain't the God they serve. That ain't the kind of God they want to serve. Don't tell me that a great, merciful, loving God would allow the Holocaust just to get his people back into Israel. He could have done a lot better job than that. And yet you and I have known that for years. And we understand it. I heard a quote a couple days ago, and it really struck my heart. And I'm going to read it. And this was not, Brother Branham didn't say this. Someone said it from way a long, long time ago. I'm going to read it a couple times, read it slowly, so you get the gist of what's going on. This man said, he who learns must suffer. So learning comes through suffering. That's when people change, when we suffer. He said, even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart. Even when we're asleep, that pain is still there. It's still dropping on our heart. It's still molding us. It's still making us. And he says, and in our own despair and against our will comes wisdom. In our despair and against our will comes wisdom. We don't want to go through these trials. We don't want this to happen. We don't like it. We want to sleep. We wake up. The pain is still there, but it's molding us. He says, against our will comes wisdom to us by the awful grace of God. Oh, wisdom comes by the awful grace of God. You say, that's a horrible thing to say. How can grace of God be awful? Have you heard of Calvary? Was that not the grace of God? Tell me that wasn't awful. What kind of a God do we serve where he sends his own son to be mutilated like that? And we call it grace. That's the kind of grace. That's the kind of God. Tell me the Holocaust wasn't grace. It got them back to the homeland. Why? So they could meet their Messiah. And all those who suffered and died in those horrible deaths, they're all alive. They got white robes. Just go to the fifth seal. They get eternal life. Brother Branham said, life can only come through death. The awful grace of God. Look at the things you've been through. Look at the trials. Look at the suffering. And against your will and your despair, wisdom came to you. Through the awful grace of God. I'm sorry, I really like that. It was actually written about 400 years before Christ by a Greek writer. I think he got some inspiration back then. And he believed in the gods. And yet he nailed it. You say, well, I don't think you should quote anyone that's up Brother Branham. Well, then go to a different church while I'm preaching. I didn't come up with this myself. God put this on my heart to say this. You think Brother Branham was the only Christian, the only God? Now, this guy wasn't even godly man as far as I know, but there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of good preachers and a lot of good quotes down through the years. We only use Brother Branham because he was a messenger of the hour, and that's all we need to get in the rapture. But my goodness. God puts on your heart to say something. Oh, you don't like this? How about if I preach on something off a cigarette pack? Huh? Think a man's filter. Yeah. Oh, shut up that legalistic devil. This is the God we serve. He leads you through trials and struggles and horrible, awful things. And not one of those trials was in vain. Not a bit of that suffering was in vain. And through it we learn and we know the grace of God. He is that serious about saving you. And he's never going to quit knocking until you figure it out. And once you figure it out and you open the door and he comes in, just expect the knocking to continue. And the more you open up those doors, the more he takes over. I promise you one thing, the happier you're going to be. You're going to know more peace and more joy and more love than you ever thought possible. And you're going to look at yourself and say, this ain't me. It must be Christ. And if it's Christ, then I might as well get ready for a rapture because he can't leave without me. Amen. That ought to make you happy. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we're thankful you would come and speak to us again tonight, Lord. We just appreciate it when you do and encourage us, Lord, and just illustrate our lives and what's going on in our lives. We can see it in the Word, and we know that we are fulfilling the Word. We know that we are becoming the Christ of this day on earth, the Messiahs. We are fulfilling the Word, Lord, that is spoken for us, and we know that where we stand, we have walked through that door, we have opened the door, you have come in, and we have entered into you, and Father, we are having fellowship with you personally, one-on-one. Father, when we see this, it gives us just great joy and peace, and it just encourages us to keep pressing the battle when we see ourselves in the Word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that everyone tonight saw themselves in the Word. If they didn't, then open their eyes to see, Lord. And Satan comes against us and says, oh, that's not you. That's just that. No. Well, Father, open their eyes so they can see. Reveal yourself to them. Show them that it definitely is you. And it's going to be so simple. And we're so tempted just to go over the top. Well, that was just my imagination, my idea. But Father, it's not. It's not just my imagination. It's you fulfilling your Word. And when the doubts come to us like they did to John in the prison, Lord, help us to look and remember what we've seen and what we've heard. Not just doctrine or quotes, but what we've seen, the manifestation, the fulfillment, as you interpret your Word by bringing it to pass. We're grateful for this, Lord Jesus. So thankful. And Lord Jesus, while we walk forward and knowing your grace, that sometimes it seems so awful, and yet through that grace, you draw us closer to you, the wisdom to know you. We're thankful even for the trials, the pain and the suffering. Lord Jesus, just go with us now as we leave here. Watch over us, Lord. Keep our minds on you. Bring us back Sunday, Lord, prayerfully, ready to hear you again, Lord. Help us to prepare ourselves before the service. Help us prepare. I ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's sing that song as we go. Can't you see why I'm so happy? Can't you see? Oh, why?